This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. We're going to give you a break from Tafsir Surah Yusuf, and we're going to talk today or tonight, inshallah, about doubts in the minds of young people. Doubts in the minds of young people. This is something very common today. And I want you to imagine this with me as parents. Have you ever received such a question from your son one time when they're little or when they are in teenage? They say, "Dad, where is Allah? Where is He? I want to see Him. Why can't I see Allah?" Another question would be, you know, my friends at school, they don't believe that God exists. JazakAllah khair. And how can I prove to them that Allah exists? These are tough questions. And you need to understand that shaitan comes to man through two main gates. Shaitan will come to you and me through two main gates. Shahawat and shubuhat. Shahawat means desires, and shubuhat means doubts. So we have to be aware of the two main gates through which shaitan can come to us, and then we can block him. I'm not talking tonight about shahawat, but I'll briefly make you aware of your shahawat, so you know also quickly how to block him. But we're going to focus on shubuhat, doubts. If you look at the human being from the top down, you will find that you have four shahawat. You have four desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you a mind, a brain that's thirsty for knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a heart that loves and hates. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an abdomen, a belly. And this shahwa is like eating. And then the last one is the sexual desire. And until and unless man maintains a balance of his desires, he'll be struggling. Why? Because for everything, there are always two extremes and one middle. Meaning, can anybody have a pen or something? A pen? Do you have a pen? Anybody? Okay, can you get that pen from the brother? If you try to hold anything, subhanAllah, you'll always find two ends, and these are the two extremes. JazakAllah khair. Barakallah feek. So if you look at this, if I hold it from here, am I maintaining a balance? Am I in good control? And if I hold it from here, same thing, right? But if I'm holding it from here, is it easy to maintain a balance? So for everything, there are two extremes. These two ends are two extremes. And there is a middle, right? So when it comes to the first desire, which is thirst for knowledge, there are two extremes. Some people, they want to know everything. And that's impossible. It's only Allah who knows everything. So subhanAllah, they try to cram their minds with lots of information. And you know what? You have a hard disk, like the computer. It's like 10 gig, 15 gig, and that's it. Anything else will come in, something has to go out. You have to delete some files. Otherwise, they will explode. You have a memory. Right? So some people try to I'm going to seek knowledge in everything. Whether it will benefit me or not. I'm going to study philosophy and music and history and geography. Like, hold on. If you ask anyone here, what do you do? He's going to say, I'm an engineer. And the next question would be, what type of engineer? Because you don't know all of engineering. There's chemical engineering. There's civil engineering. There's architecture. And it goes on and on. I'm a teacher. What do you teach? Do you teach everything? No. I just teach math. No, I teach English. No, I teach science. I teach geography. So no one knows it all. Because it's Allah who does this. He is al-Alim. You could be sahib ilm. You could have knowledge. You could be even an authority in your field. We call you allama. You could be a scholar, alim. But al-Alim is Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلَّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every knowledgeable person, there is Allah the all-knowing. So that brain, that vehicle for thirst for knowledge, you have to use it in a balanced way. What's the other extreme? Some people say, you know what? I don't want to study anything. I don't want to know anything. I'm a carefree person. I don't want to use that hard drive that Allah has given me. Leave it blank, man. It's easy that way. Because the more you know, the more you'll be held accountable. Because if you know, Allah is going to ask you, why didn't you act upon your knowledge? So it's like, leave it blank. So these are two extremes, right? But some people will be in the middle. What will they do? They will study that which will benefit them. And they will leave that which will not be benefiting them. And it's amazing in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes talks about someone. And He keeps him as someone. He doesn't tell us what's his name. Then people come to you like, no. Brother, you did tafsir of Surah Yaseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. He leaves the whole story and he asks about something that Allah didn't mention. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجْلٌ يَسْعَى. And there came a man from far away, from the outskirts of the city, and he came rushing. What is he doing? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He was giving da'wah. Oh people, oh my people, follow the messengers. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Follow those who are not asking you to pay them back for what they're doing, giving you knowledge. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They're already guided. But they want also to share that guidance with you. So the brother leaves the whole story and is asking, brother, can you tell me what's the name of that man? I say, no, I'm not telling you. I know, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you that his name is Habib al-Najjar. Did I tell you? I'm sorry. Okay, now that you know his name is Habib al-Najjar, does it make a difference? No. Because if it makes a difference, Allah would have said, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ حَبِيبُ النَّجَّارِ يَسْعَى. Allah is stressing the importance of the action of the man, not the man himself. So leave it as is. Leave it as is. Do like Habib al-Najjar. That's what Allah is saying. You read in Surah Al-Kahf 18, ayah number 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the people of the cave. He said, سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. People will say, they are three and the dog is their fourth. وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ وَسَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. And they will say they were five and the dog was number six. And then, does the number count here? Is there any importance of the number? If they were three or four or five, What really matters is what? What those young men do. Is that clear? So many times in the Quran, Allah is not going to mention the names. So when you study, when you get knowledge, you should seek knowledge that will benefit you. Somebody comes to me after an entire lecture about the traps of shaitan. 15-minute lecture. And then he comes to me and say, Sheikh, I have a very important question. I say, what's the question? He said, Sheikh, it leaves me sleepless. I said, man, give it to me. I want you to sleep, inshallah. He said, does shaitan give birth or lay eggs? I'm like, I've been using my time 50 minutes to teach you what does shaitan do. And you just want to know if shaitan gives birth or lay eggs? Are you going to kill his eggs? Can you even see shaitan? Are you going to give him contraceptives so he wouldn't be delivering anymore? What is the importance of knowing that? You see what I'm saying? So don't let shaitan, because shaitan will never allow you to benefit from the Quran. So every time you try to read the Quran to get benefit, what does shaitan do? فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. By your majesty, I will distract them. I will lead them astray. I don't want them to follow the straight path. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, so number 16 and number 98, He commanded us. He said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. So when you read the Quran, seek the protection of Allah. From what? من الشيطان الرجيم. From shaitan, the rejected one, the accursed one. Why? Because shaitan knows that your guidance is in the Quran. So even if you want to read the Quran, he will come and do what? Distract you so you wouldn't benefit from the Quran. Is that clear? So desire number one is knowledge. Seek knowledge that will benefit you and stay away from knowledge that will not benefit you. And don't assume either extreme. Be totally ignorant or cram your mind with everything, with it, whether it's good or not. Go down. You have a heart that loves and hates. Right? Love that which will bring you closer to Allah. Fill that heart with Iman. Then you'll have the peace of the heart and the peace of the mind. Love everyone who will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hate anything that will distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that qalb will be at ease and will be at peace only in one case. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts will be peaceful. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. It's only with the remembrance of Allah that your heart will feel secure and at peace. Third desire is eating. Remember this statement. We as an ummah of Islam, repeat this. We eat to live. Can you say that? Okay, mashallah. It seems that you have eaten too much. This is why you can't even speak. Okay, let's say it again. We eat to live. We don't live to eat. That's it. So we eat just to live. It's a means of giving us energy, right? But we don't live to eat. You know how some people, they spend most of their time eating. When you ask them, how many meals do you eat? He said, like main meals or in between? Main meals are three. But in between each meal and the other, there's a snack. So we have six snacks and three meals. Basically nine. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ لَا نَأْكُلْ حَتَّى نَجُوعَ. We are people that do not eat until we're hungry. So it's not like, you know, you're passing by the kitchen, just grab something, man. Just get busy. No. We don't eat until we feel hungry. وَإِذَا أَكَلْنَا لَا نَشْبَعْ. And when we eat, we don't eat our full. We don't fill our stomach. So, again, for this desire, there are two extremes, and there is one moderation. Some people in the middle. What are the extremes? People who eat too much, right? And then they become obese, and that leads to what? To many diseases. And then they will go to the doctor to say, please, I want to lose weight, and I'm going to pay you money. Or other people who don't eat well. They can hardly eat. Or if they eat, they don't eat the right type of food. Right? So they still also, you know, have anemia, and they will have lots of issues, and then they will have, you know, issues with their health. But we are ummah in the middle. The last desire, also the sexual desire, some people live all their life just to chase the opposite gender. That's their life. And other people, they say, you know what? We're going to live like in celibacy. No, we're not going to get married. We're not going to do anything of that. Allah created that desire in you. And it has to be satisfied, but it has to be satisfied the halal way. So be in the middle. Amazingly enough, that subhanAllah, to remind you, before I move inshallah to the main point that I want to discuss with you tonight, which is the shubuhat, the doubts, I want to share something very important with you to remind you of assuming that balance, being in the middle all the time. You know, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no numbering of the ayat of the Quran. There was no numbering. Like now we say, surah number 2, ayah number, you know, 126, for example. There was no numbering of the ayat. That came later. Yet, if I were to ask you today, how many ayahs are there in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the long surah of the Quran? How many ayahs? We have candy here. Huh? Yeah, can you open this for me, please? MashaAllah. He gave me the right answer, so he's going to be the first one to get a chocolate, MashaAllah. So there are 286 ayahs in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, let me ask you a question. Can I say yes or yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that democracy, man. Okay, so here you go. If we were to divide the 286 ayahs by two, what would you get? 143. I got it here. Like, you guys are late. Okay? So the 2 becomes 1, the 8 becomes 4, the 6 becomes 3. This is my mother's way of doing it easy, right? So 143. Do you know what does ayah 143 say in Surah Al-Baqarah? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And thus we have made you an ummah in the middle. SubhanAllah. Right in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is saying, and thus we have made you an ummah of moderation, an ummah of balance. That's not random. So when it comes to your shahawat, your desires, what do you need to do? You need to maintain a balance. And I will just share one ayah before I move to the shubuhat, the doubts. You know what Allah said in Surah Maryam? About people who, subhanAllah, waste their salah. And I want to be specific, what's the meaning of waste their salah? Because the first thing that will come to your mind is when I say, you wasted your salah, it means you did not pray. No, you prayed, but your salah is wasted. But what does the ayah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ خَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ. And then after them there came a generation that wasted salah. What does the next part of the ayah say? The next part of the ayah is saying how salah is wasted. Allah said, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. Because they followed their desires. So what's the reason for wasting the salah? Following your desires. Right? What's the punishment? فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They will be punished. غَيَّا, the scholars of Tafsir said, it's a wadi in Jahannam. It's a valley in Jahannam. It's a spot in Jahannam. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, in his tafsir, said that أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ أَيْ أَخَّرُوهَا عَنْ وَقْتِهَا. He said, أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ, they wasted their salah. And this ayah means they delayed, they did not pray on time. Allahu Akbar. What about those who do not pray? Because the very first meaning that will come to you when I say they wasted their salah, what does it mean to you? You think they did not pray. But no, they delayed the time. Because when you hear this, what does it mean to you? When you hear what I'm going to say now, what does it mean to you? How do you feel when you hear this? And I want you to tell me honestly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You hear this 5 times a day. When you hear this, how do you feel? What does it mean to you? And mostly the brothers would say, it means Allah, you know, Allah is the greatest. I say, I'm not asking for a translation. I'm asking, what does it mean to you? When it goes through your ears, does it really go through your ears? Or it fall off here? Does it really go through your ear and then it goes to your heart? And then you feel it? Oh my God, Allahu Akbar. It's not Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar means God is the greatest. But it's Allahu Akbar. It's a comparative degree, not the superlative degree in grammar. So as if Allah is saying, Allah is greater than anything you're doing, leave it and come and respond to that. And unless you leave everything and you go to salah, you're saying, my eating is Akbar. The movie is Akbar. My work is Akbar. You don't say it, but you act it. Oh, I forgot to give you that. Okay? Is that clear? So we show it by action. And that's the meaning of Allahu Akbar. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. ثُمَّ خَلَفًا بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Because when the time for salah comes and they hear adhan, they just only hear it. They don't listen to it. Be careful. There's a difference between hear and listen attentively. And this in Arabic is yasma' to hear. Yastami' to listen. Yunsut to listen attentively. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. When the Quran is being recited, he didn't say فَاسْمَعُوا لَهُ, hear the Quran. No, he said listen to the Quran. Not only that, وَأَنصِتُوا, and listen attentively. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may get the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let me just give you the analogy to understand the difference between these three verbs. Yasma' means to hear. You know when there are kids running around? Okay? Do I really want to listen to them or do I hear them? Hello? I hear them. I don't want to listen to them, but I have to hear them. So it's something that out of my control. You see? MashaAllah, he's giving us the real example now. So if a noise comes like this, I have to hear it. It's not optional. I didn't want to hear it. Okay? But yastami', any verb in the Arabic language with alif and sin and ta at the beginning, it means you are exerting an effort because you need that. You know, in Surah An-Nas we say قُلْ أَعُوذُ, not أَسْتَعِيدُ. We say قُلْ أَعُوذُ. أَعُوذُ means, Ya Allah, I'm handing myself into you. I'm already in your protection. I want to stay away from shaitan. But Allah said, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ Sorry, Allah said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ Seek. So there's an effort on your side. Seek protection with Allah. Is that clear? So يَسْتَمِعْ means you seek to hear. You exert an effort. And then Allah said, وَأَنْصِتُ So you need to listen attentively so that you can understand the meaning, because there's a message behind it. This is why after Salah you ask people whether they heard the Imam or listened to the Imam or they did insult to the Imam. Okay? You ask them after the Salah, what did the Imam recite in Salat al-Isha? They're going to say, Quran, Alhamdulillah. I say, really? He did not recite Injil or Torah or something? Yeah. My question is very specific. What did he recite? So if somebody says Quran, it means he was hearing me. I was like some noise to him. That's it. He was not listening. Right? But then another brother would say, I think he said something about Ar-Rahman or something. Right? So that person was listening. But some guy is going to say, a third one is going to say, you recited Surah Ar-Rahman from Ayah 1 to Ayah 27. That one is doing insult. And I can tell you exactly what you recited. You said, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran. And I was listening. It's Allah who taught the Quran. خلق الإنسان, He created man. علمه البيان, He taught him how to express himself. He taught him how to communicate. And it goes on and on. You see, so we are degrees when we are listening to the Imam. Let alone those who listen to the Adhan and they don't respond. They say, man, you know, وقت العشاء طويل. We can pray عشاء الفجر, inshallah. Let me finish what I'm doing first. Right? Okay, let's move on to the doubts. So the second main gate of shaitan is doubts. And especially young people here, especially teenagers, they will relate too much to what I'm saying. There comes a time when you start questioning everything, and this is healthy. But you know what? It's very challenging to the parents. Why? Because if your son comes home and says, Dad, what is Allah? And says, Astaghfirullah! Where's this coming from? No, Dad, I'm just asking, you know. You know, I see you, you're my dad, you know. So is it possible to see Allah? I was just asking. Don't ever do this again. This is kufr, astaghfirullah. No. Do you think this is the right answer? No. This is not the way. There should be a dialogue. Because you know what? If you don't give him the answer, he'll get it from somewhere else. And it could be the wrong source. Somebody who doesn't know about Islam, right? From a bad friend, you know, from Sheikh Google. It's very simple now. Just go to Google, and there are so many websites. Many of them are written by non-Muslims. And they are meant to throw these doubts in your heart. So you need to be able to have that dialogue with your son or daughter when they come and ask this question. Have you ever had a son or a daughter come to you and say, Dad, why do we pray? Because I said you have to pray. Okay, okay. Because my dad grabbed me to the masjid and I'm grabbing into the masjid. This is not the right answer. It's not a habit. No. We need to be logical in our answers because, subhanAllah, the Quran all the time is challenging you to think and reflect. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ Don't they think? Don't they reflect? So, we as parents, we need to learn how to answer these questions. Another question would be, you know that I have a friend in my class who says he's an atheist. What does that mean? No! Don't talk to him! Do you think that this is the solution? No, that friend has been talking to him for a long time, and he's almost on the verge of leaving Islam. And when you react angrily like this, he will never come back to ask you. In fact, he will learn from his friend, and later on when he hits 17 or 18, he is at the university, you will notice that he's not praying anymore. And he's going to say, Dad, I can make my own decisions now. I decided not to be a Muslim anymore. I'm dealing with cases like this. Yes, it's a fact. There are young Muslims leaving Islam. Whether you accept it or not, it's a reality. And we have to deal with it. But tonight, I'm trying to teach you prevention is better than cure. You need to learn how to educate your kids so that you protect them from these thoughts. And I'm going to share with you like very simple scenarios to make it easy for you. I'm not going to go into technical terms. And let's start with the last question. Atheism. People who say, there's no God. God does not exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summed the answer to this question in two ayahs. And these two ayahs are 21 words. 21 words. So, if you want to refute an atheist, you can use two ayahs in the Quran, and these two ayahs are 21 words. What's the surah? It's called At-Tur. And that's surah number 52. The number of the ayahs is 34 and 35. Can we repeat that? So 52 is surah At-Tur. The ayat are number 34 and 35. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing three questions. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws a question at you, you will be unable to answer this question, and the only thing you can come up with is like, you know, La ilaha illallah. Allah says in this ayat, Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in. That's the question number one. Were they created out of nothing? Question number two. Am humul khaliqoon. Or did they create themselves? Allah is giving you, think. Second question is, or did they create themselves? What's the third question? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Or have they created the heavens and the earth? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kills it at the end. بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ They're only in doubt. So kill your doubts by asking yourselves these three questions. Question number one, and this is how I addressed a class of atheists, and the professor was an atheist. I was invited to a university in Edmonton, and the entire class was atheists, and the professor was an atheist. So when I first walked in right away, you know, you have to find a scapegoat. I looked at like, you know, the bully of the class, the guy who's loud. I dashed to him right. I was like, you know, hey, how are you? Who created you? He's like, my mom. I said, who created your mom? He said, her mom. I said, okay, let's mom it back to the first mom. Who's the first mom? He said, Eve. I said, who created Eve? He was stuck. That's a good way to do it. Because logically speaking, I can never ever say that this bottle of water, full of water, with that lid on the top, just came into being like this. It created itself. Does this make any sense? Never. That pen just created itself. it decided to come into being. Right? That watch just decided to come into being. It made itself. Logically speaking, we have to say, behind every creation there is a creator. But then they were going to say, okay, who created this? Who created this? Until you come to, who created the creator? Stop there. How can the creator be created? It doesn't make sense. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, he said, يَأْتِ الشَّيْطَانِ أَحَدُكُمْ. This is one gate of shaitan now. The doubts. فَيَقُولْ مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا حَتَّى يَصِلْ بِكَ إِلَى إِيهِ مَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهِ مَنْ خَلَقَ الْخَالِقِ. So shaitan will come and say, who created this? Who created this? Who created this? Until he comes, who created the creator? He said, when you reach that, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and stop thinking about that. Get busy with something else. Because if you continue, this is the problem. Shaitan is messing up your mind. Is that clear? This is very important. So the first question is, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ? Can something come out of nothing? The answer is, no. Anything that comes into existence must be coming because somebody put it together. And I'll give you a very nice analogy. I had a phone call, I had a chat back in the days, during the Stone Age. There were no built-in camera like the way we have it now. We used to buy an external camera and put it behind the screen of the desktop. There was no even laptops at that time, back in the 90s. And I happened to chat with someone. So he's like, where are you from? I said, an Egyptian in Kuwait. I was teaching at the university in Kuwait at that time. And then he said, what about you? He said, I'm from the States. I was like, what do you do? I said, I'm a professor at the university. What do you do? He said, the same here. I said, okay. Then the next statement, not a question, he said, you must be a Muslim. I said, there's nothing called Islam. I'm a Muslim. But why do you assume I'm a Muslim? He said, because I think the Middle East is all Muslims. I said, no. That's your assumption. There are some Christians in Egypt. There are some Christians in Lebanon. There are some Christians in Syria. So what do you assume? He's like, okay. I said, what about you? He said, I'm an atheist. I said, no, you're not. He's like, what? I said, no, you're not. You're lying to yourself. And if you accept the challenge, I can prove to you in 10 minutes that you're not an atheist. Atheist. He doesn't believe that God exists. So he said, let's go. I said, okay. Took off my watch, put it in front of me. I said, count 10 minutes. First question, how can we communicate together now? He said, through the internet. I said, what's the internet? I don't believe in the internet. I'm a kafir in the internet. Right? I don't believe in that. Hold on. Can you see the internet? He said, no. I said, can you touch it? He said, no. I said, there is nothing called internet, man. They're lying to you. Can you send me a piece of the internet by mail? He's like, no. I said, so how do you believe in the internet? There's nothing called the internet. He's like, man, this is very confusing. I said, thank you. Next. How can we communicate now? He said, through the computer. I said, what's a computer? I mean, there's a computer in front of me and there's a computer in front of him, right? Because I'm in Kuwait and he's in the States. I said, oh, you mean that random thing in front of me now that decided to come together? And it was like some electronic circuits and some plastic pieces that just came about by itself? He's like, what do you mean? This is the sophisticated technology brought together by an electronic engineer. I said, did you see him putting it together? He said, no. I said, there is nothing called electronic engineers, man. They lie to you. That computer came by itself. It just decided to come. It made itself. And just like, I woke up in the morning, I found it here. And he's like, that doesn't make sense. I said, that's what atheists say. I'm just trying to, what am I doing now? To assume his own way of thinking. Just to confront him. Just to get him to think. And then I said, okay, how do you get that thing you call computer to work? He said, through power, electricity. I say, excuse me, what did you say? He said, power, electricity. I said, like, what is that? I originally come from Africa. I don't think we know that. Have you seen electricity? He said, no. I said, can you send me a piece of electricity by mail? He said, no. I said, there is nothing called electricity. It's just a neuron. Dreams. I was like, man. I said, where do you put that thing you call computer? He said, on a table. I said, table? What's a table? He said, man, that thing made by the carpenter. I said, astaghfirullah, carpenter? What's a carpenter? I said, oh, you made that thing that's in front of me now? You know, the combination, the random combination of some, you know, plastic pieces and some metals that decided to come together, like last night, and I found it here in my house. He said, no, this is the artistic work of a carpenter. I said, have you seen the carpenter putting it together? He said, no. I said, there is nothing called carpenters. The table decided to make itself by itself. And he was like, I said, let's go on. Can you turn on your camera? He's like, yeah. So I said, can you see me? He's like, yeah. I said, what's common between me and you? He said, you have two eyes and I have two eyes. I said, good. You have one nose, I have one nose. I said, yes. And I have two ears bigger than yours, okay. Then he was like, I said, can you come to a conclusion from that? And listen, he said, yes. I said, when we have many tables that look like together, does this mean that the one who made them is one person or something? He's like, yeah, I think the one who made you is the one who made me. I said, what do you call him? He said, I don't know. I said, let's compromise. What about calling him man-maker? He said, that's a good idea. I said, write it down, please. And he wrote it down, man-maker. I said, let's go back again up. Right? You told me who made that thing called computer? He said, electronic engineers. I said, hold on. Can we compromise here? Can I say computer maker? He said, yes. I said, let's write it down. What did you say about the one who made that thing you call table? He said, carpenter. I said, again, can we compromise? Let's call him table maker. He said, that's a good idea. I said, okay. I said, now we're trying to lie to each other. We're changing the names, right? I said, now, I start to believe now that someone made the computer. You call him what? He said, electronic engineer. I said, but let me ask you a question. How do we believe that there is an electronic engineer? Is it because we saw him putting the computer together, or because we saw his work, which is the computer? He said, we saw his work. I said, so do we have to see the electronic engineer who put the computer together to believe that he exists, or it's enough to see his work? He said, it's enough to see his work. I said, excellent. Now I believe in electronic engineers, as long as I don't have to see them. So now you can give him his name. Call him whatever you want. He said, great. I said, let's go down. What did you call the guy who made the table? He said, carpenter. I said, did you see the carpenter who made that table in front of you? He said, no. I said, why do you believe that there are carpenters? He said, because I can see their work. I can see the table that they made. I said, do we have to see the carpenter to believe that he exists? Or is it enough to see his work? He said, yes, it's enough to see his work. I said, excellent. Let's go down. You said, the one who made you and made me, what do you call him? He said, man maker. I said, can we give him the real name? He said, what do you mean? I said, call him the maker. He said, okay, maker. I said, let's develop it. Call him creator. Did he create and made you and me? He's like, yeah. I said, so what is his real name? He said, oh my God. I said, it's 9 minutes. I win. Liar, you said, oh my God. It just came spontaneously. He said, oh my God. Even though he denies the existence of God, I said, so we don't have to see God, but we have to see his perfect work. You are an example of the creation of Allah. Is that clear? And this is a good way you can share this story with your kid to tell him, we don't have to see Allah because the way we are created in this life, we cannot see Allah. We're so weak. We'll be created in a different way in Jannah so that we'll be able to see Allah. Do you know how, like what's our size in Jannah? Does anybody know? I have chocolate here. Yeah. Yes? Millimeter? MashaAllah. You're going to be like bacteria? Four feet, 54. You're close. We're going to be like Adam alayhi salam. Would you like to give it a shot? Did somebody say 60? Yeah, 60 by, that's the length. Okay, I can share half of it. Okay, 60 feet by 21. This is how Adam alayhi salam looked like. That's something unbelievable. You know, when Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, because Banu Israel kept telling him, we will not believe in you until we see Allah. لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. So at some point he said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Ya Allah, I want to see you. Allah said, you cannot. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed just some of his light to the mountain, what happened to the mountain? It crumbled. And imagine Musa alayhi salam standing in front of a mountain, and all of a sudden the mountain is crushed and is underneath his feet. So what happened to Musa? He passed out. He fell unconscious. Can you imagine seeing a mountain in front of you crushed in less than a second? What will happen to you? So it's enough to see the signs of Allah. But inshallah in Jannah, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of our steps to Jannah, we'll be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go back to Surah At-Tur, Surah number 52. You still remember the number of the ayat? 34 and 35. So Allah posed three questions, and that's what I was discussing with you now. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. You can never say that this candy decided to create itself. There's a company that made it. So behind every creation there is a creator. So أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Next one, أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Did you create yourself? No. I'm a creation. And Allah is the creator. Last thing is, who are you compared to the heavens and the earth? Who are you compared to the ocean? Imagine if all of us now go to the beach and they're like wild waves and you don't know how to swim and you just like, mashallah, start an adventure and go into these waves. What's going to happen to you? The ocean will swallow you and you will die drowning. You know the Pharaoh of Egypt who said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Rabb, I am your master, the most high. Right? He was a liar. Why? Because Allah made him drown in the sea. And like people is like, no, hey, Mr. Rabb, why can't you save yourself? If you are claiming that you are the Rabb, you're so weak. Is that clear? So we need to understand this. So if Allah is saying, you can never say something came out of nothing, and you can never say that I created myself, can you even claim that you created the heavens and the earth? Brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about that sky? When you stay outside in a summer's day, and you look at the sky and you can see it's very clear. Let me just give you this analogy. Can you look at the ceiling up here? How old is this building approximately? 40, 50 years? Does it need maintenance? If we don't maintain that ceiling, what's going to happen after 100 years or 200 years? It might collapse, right? May I ask a question? Say yes or yes.
Yes.
How old is the sky? Who's maintaining it? Think about this. Allah said this in Surah Al-Mulk. Right? He said, look at the sky. And look again. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ Look twice. يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ As if Allah is saying, look and try to find any defect. You might have a crack here in the ceiling. But have you ever seen a crack in the sky? In Surah 67, read like the first from 3 to 7. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging us to think. Now, in order for us to hold this ceiling, do we have to have pillars? Right? If we remove the pillars, what's going to happen to that ceiling? So who is holding the sky without pillars that you can see? بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا Think about this. So Allah is saying, so there is nothing that comes out of nothing, and you can never claim that you created yourself, and you can never claim that you created the heavens and the earth. So what do you end up saying? There is a creator behind the perfect system in this universe. There is a creator behind me as a sophisticated human body. Do you know what happens in your liver? How many chemical operations that happens every day to take all the toxins from your body? Do you know what happens in your kidney every day? We take it for granted. Can you imagine in the morning if you just open your eyes and then you can't see? What's going to happen? It's going to be a shock for you. But we go to bed and we wake up in the morning taking it for granted. You know, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to see. Right? So basically, what I wanted to say tonight is, when these doubts start growing in your heart, voice them out. Talk to someone with knowledge so they can give you peace. Otherwise, I'll conclude with a surprise for you. I went through this when I was 16. And this is the time when I became a Muslim. Oh my God, what do you mean? Are you a convert? No, I was born a Muslim. But for the first 16 years, I was imitating my father. I was not thinking, like most of you. You come to the masjid because your dad brings you here, because your mom brings you here, right? And like when you're really young, what do? You know, like your dad goes for ruku', you do like this. Right? He goes for sujood, you don't know what's happening. So like, you know, you just like, you know, your dad goes for sujood for like maybe 20 seconds. You go for 1 second and you go up. Oh, he's still down. Oh, let's go down. You don't know what's happening, just imitating, right? And then even though in your teenage, you're still doing the same thing. You memorize al-Fatiha, you say al-Fatiha, but you can hardly understand what you're doing. Until that maturity comes and you start thinking, why am I praying? So when your son comes to you or your daughter say, Dad, why am I praying? Say, shh, because I said so. This is back home, not here. That's the way your dad brought you up. But you pray because Allah told you why. So you have to share with them in the Quran. Allah said, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Because Allah doesn't need your salah. You need your salah. If you pray properly, if you do salah properly, your salah will stop you and shun you from doing or saying anything wrong. And until and unless your salah stops you from doing this, you haven't attained the real meaning of salah. I would say perfect exercise. Mashallah, going up and down, you're exercising. But you haven't connected with Allah, which is the essence of the word salah, salah. Right? So this is very important. So when your son comes and say, Why do we fast? Tell him, open the Mus'haf. Surah number 2, Ayah 183. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Because Allah commanded us as Muslims to fast. And we're not the first ummah to fast. People before us used to fast. What's the fruit of fasting? La'allakum tattaqoon. You learn taqwa. So if you fast and you don't learn taqwa, congratulations for torturing yourself, stopping yourself from food and drink. Better go and drink and eat. Is that clear? So we need to have a dialogue with our kids. When they ask questions, wallahi, they're not challenging you. They want to learn. Because you send them to a school here that teaches them what? Critical thinking. Ask. Ask. The only way to learn. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Ala inna likulli da'in dawa. Indeed, for every disease, there is a remedy. Wa dawa'u al-'iyyi as-su'al. And the cure for ignorance is to ask. How many times in the Quran? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you, they ask you. The Sahaba used to come and ask. And this is how they learned. Is that clear? So, these tough questions, parents need to learn how to answer them. And if you don't know, don't shut them down. Don't answer by being angry. This is not good. It's not healthy. So we need to know the answers, we need to address the answers, and if we don't know, we need to take it to those who know. With this, inshallah, we conclude our halaqa tonight. I'm just going to take one or two questions, and then we'll leave, inshallah. Any question related to the topic? Some parents can give me some challenging questions. Sometimes your kid will come and ask you, how did I come here? Okay, any questions? He's going to give me the first one, yes. On topic. Is it on topic or off topic? Off topic? So let's leave it to the end. We need on topic questions first, yes. Okay. So what would be the answer of a dad if the kid asked him who created God? I think we answered this question. Because this is illogical question. God is the creator. Everything else is created. So how can the creator be created? Okay? It doesn't make sense. So, there's a series of who created this, who created this, who created the heavens? Allah. Who created the earth? Allah. Who created you? Allah. Who created me? Allah. Who created the sea? Allah. Who created the creator? Stop there because it doesn't make sense. How can the creator, the one who creates, be created? Doesn't make any sense. So stop there. Okay?
In many universities, taking courses in biology has a section called evolution. So as a university student, how do you manage your Islam and try to...
Excellent. This is a very good question. I was expecting that one. When you study biology at school, that question comes up all the time. There's a section called evolution. And they say the origin of man was chimpanzee or a monkey. Right? Now, our creator, Allah, told us in the Quran that our origin is Adam. Where is that? Surah number 2, ayah number 30. Surah number 2 is called Al-Baqarah. Ayah number 30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً.
When Allah said to the angels, I will create a trustee on earth. That was Adam alayhi salam. Right? So Allah told us our origin. So do we need anyone else to tell us something different? Okay, Allah said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the children of Adam. If Allah honored the children of Adam, and He said the children of Adam, not the children of chimpanzee or monkey. Okay? So you cannot say that it's like it was like progression. And then they give you those pictures of an ape or a monkey that was walking in four and then starts like, you know, stepping up on two, and then it could, you know, it has the like the backbone, and then it became just a man. I say, I know my grandfather, and my grandfather goes to his grandfather, and then everybody goes back to who? To Adam alayhi salam. Okay? So because they don't have this, and subhanAllah, Sigmund Freud, the one who said that himself, so many of his students, they refuted what he said. And in science today, there's so many theories that came to refute this. It doesn't make any sense. Okay? So alhamdulillah, as a Muslim, when I have like an immunity system, right? Like, you know, I have Islam, then if anything comes from outside, I present it to Islam. If I don't have an answer in Islam, then you can ask the scholars. But Allah told us. Allah told us. Okay? Let me conclude with a cliffhanger. Okay? Because I'm gonna, like, parents are shy to give me some of the tough questions. I got a tough question by my daughter back in the days when she was young. One time she came to me and she said, Dad, I said, yes. She said, I hate you. I said, who cares? Isn't this the attitude of the young people? Who cares? Whatever. Right? And she's like, I said, I hate you. I said, I heard you. I don't care. What do you want me to say? Is this a compliment or something? So I said, like, thank you. And she's like, I want to tell you, why do I hate you? I said, I could care less, but go ahead. She's like, you never buy me anything. My mom always buy me everything. My mom always buys me everything. So her mom started defending me. She's like, oh, hold on. There's something called a joint account. And your dad work hard, and that money goes through that joint account, and then I take the money, and your dad doesn't like shopping. How many men here hate shopping? Raise your hand. I wish the sisters would see this video, inshallah. Even young ones, mashallah, they're raising their hands, even though they don't have any time, any money to shop. But they will be serious when they grow older and understand this. Okay? But if you were to ask the sisters, one of their enjoyments and pleasures and joy in life is to go shopping. Even though, subhanAllah, you know, there will be like, she will hear about a new mall in town, and her husband's driving, but she's going to say, honey, can I ask you a favor? He's like, what? It's like, there is a new mall here, and I promise you, I'm just going to do window shopping. You know what's window shopping? She's promising just like to have a look. She's going to explore it. She's not going to buy anything. And poor guy, if it's only window shopping, he will end up after 8 hours going back to the car, carrying 6 bags, and his credit in the credit card is $10. Anyway, so she's trying to tell her that because your dad doesn't like shopping, and like the money goes into it. So she doesn't, like, she was very young. She doesn't understand the concept of a bank and joint account. She said, Mom, I know only one thing. Lying is haram. Stop trying to defend him. I only see you buying me things. Now I have to change the entire thing. I want to prove to her that your dad and mom are nothing but means, but it's all coming from Allah. But it's not easy, right? So I have to take her into a long story. And every time I would ask her a question, I want one answer, just one word, Allah. So I said, do you like your grandma? It's like, very much. It's like, why? Because she buys me candy and she gives me money all the time. I say, who created your grandma? She said, Allah. I said, okay. And then your mother is the daughter of your grandma. She said, yes. I said, who created your mother? She said, Allah. I said, then who gave you a grandma? She said, Allah. I said, then who gave you a mom? She said, Allah. I said, who gave you a dad? She said, Allah. I said, who gave your dad and mom a brain? She said, Allah. I said, who made them successful at school and they had a PhD and they're teaching at the university? She said, Allah. I said, who gave them that job? She said, Allah. I said, who gave them that money? She said, Allah. I said, then who gives the money? She said, Allah. I said, thank you. So you have to love Allah. But whoever goes to use that money to bring you the gift is just a means. And because your dad is busy and he doesn't like shopping, it's your mom who does this. She said, I'll think about loving you, inshallah. So basically, that's what I wanted to share with you. Like, you know, to hammer an idea. And I know, like, it's a funny story, but I think it's easier now to get the point through. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes if you try to be blunt and do not talk to the imagination of a child, you can never convince them. It's easy to convince somebody who's an adult. This is why teaching kids is the most difficult job. So this is why I make dua for Sheikh Yusuf, you know, for his patience when he teaches, you know, the kids, you know, whether it's the Quran or, you know, at the Islamic school. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawbah before death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us shahada at the moment of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us jannah after death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins and the sins of our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our tongue to say the truth all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our heart to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of our steps to Jannah and al-Firdaus al-A'la in Jannah in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa jazakumullahu khairan.